This is Richard Hudson here with Ignite Consulting for our podcast, Compliance and Cocktails, here recording on March 11th, 2021. So, you know, here we're here weekly to discuss issues of the day in compliance and invite leading experts in the field each week to discuss what's on their mind. So sit back, make a cocktail, and relax as we discuss things we think that will impact you today and in the future. Once again, I'll repeat that we are required by federal, state, and local law to share stories from the trenches and lessons that we've learned from them and lessons that you can learn from them. The names have been removed to protect the innocent, and we'll visit those later in the podcast. So with that, I will throw this over to my partner, Steve Levine, and he is going to introduce our guest today.
Hi, everybody. And for the record, I am doing today's podcast with a rum and Diet Coke in hand. Richard always encourages me to have a drink and relax and have a little bit of fun. And today we're going to have a lot of fun because we've got a special guest, our first special guest, Steve Burke, president of Agora Data. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Steve, Richard, thank you for having me. And for the record, I have a Johnny Walker Black on the rocks in my hands, and especially for the record, I love it when I hear a compliance person is drinking.
That is great. Again, you know, we never wanted this podcast to be boring, hence the name and the theme, and it's always a lot of fun. And so our goal is to have a lot of fun, but also, you know, communicate important things to the people out there that are interested.
And I'm not going to lie, sometimes the answers come easier with the drink in hand.
I bet they do. I bet they do.
So Steve, we were talking before we began. You're actually responsible, well, not only for compliance and cocktails, you're responsible for Ignite, and you're responsible for my 30-year career as a consumer finance lawyer, because you were my very first auto finance client back in, gosh, the early 90s.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. You know, it seems like yesterday, but boy, has a lot gone on since, you know, we first met, became friends, and, you know, since you started doing both legal and compliance work for us.
Yeah, I think back to those days, and this is probably, I don't know, 91, 92, something like that, and there was nothing called compliance. You know, you had a car lot. Other folks had a car lot. There were acceptance companies. That there were, you know, finance companies, and it was pretty much the Wild West. That there wasn't this body of compliance law. You know, it was kind of go by the seat of your pants and hope that your documents hold up in court if it comes to that.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I you know, I remember back. In the old days, the best that was around really were some very light consumer protection laws and maybe Texas DPPA and other states, you know, with their version of a you know, Deceptive Trade Practices Act. But you're right. I mean, it was pretty much what one dealer was doing on a street corner, another dealer had to do just to compete. And, you know, boy, as times changed and change for the better. I mean, I'm glad now that there are rules and regulations and, you know, that people have to follow them. It's just very important for the industry. And I'm so happy we are where we are today, albeit, you know, a lot of rules are pretty onerous.
That mirrors a comment I heard from a CEO a few years ago where he said, you know, the CFPB and these regulatory agencies can sometimes seem to be a pain in the butt. He said, but it's made us a better business, right? We do things in a better way towards the consumers than we did before it came into existence. As much as, you know, sometimes we, you know, bitch and moan about the burdens, it has made us a better business. And so, in fact, that's a good thing, because I was in high school when you guys got together. So,
thanks for that.
Well said, Richard. Well said, because, you know, it makes us a better business and it helps the consumers too. And while we all do bitch and moan, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the regulators are human beings and they care a lot. and the dealer community cares a lot, and everything that everybody does just makes it a better place for the consumers and a better place to do business. When you know what the rules are and you have a rule book, you know, you could follow it, you choose to follow it, and you do well.
Exactly.
So I tell the story, but people will ask me how I got into compliance. And Steve, you know this. I spent probably about the first decade of my career mostly doing car finance litigation. You know, everything from repossessions gone wild to collection matters to, you know, every crazy story in between. And then one day I had that epiphany and I said, wouldn't it be great if I could stop my clients from getting sued? And that was compliance before compliance was in vogue. It was trying to come up with a set of best practices and way to do things that will avoid the problems in getting sued.
And without a doubt, Steve. I mean, I'll still remember the days, you know, back in the day when you drove your white Saturn into the car lot with your big brick phone, you know, your cell phone that was probably old in the 90s, and you would, you know, come in the lot and you would tell us, you know, how we need to be doing things and look after things, all, you know, to protect us from costly litigation. And you're right, that was compliance before compliance was compliance.
Well, I'll have you know the serial number on that phone was 001.
And it was a brick.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
No, but we both had a lot of hair back then.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of hair over the years, that's for sure. In all seriousness, the recipe for success hasn't changed a whole lot. It's transparency. It's being able to demonstrate you're trying to do the right thing. It's being consistent in your communications. Just because now it's kind of wrapped up differently and you have all these different regulatory watchdogs paying attention, the rules of the road haven't changed too much. There's more rules now, absolutely more rules now. But I don't think it's changed that much.
I agree with you. You know, some people, you know, it also depends on how you define success. So, you know, there are dealers and finance companies that, you know, said, oh, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to, you know, these regulations, or, you know, I'm going to do it my way. And, you know, they have short term success, maybe make a little bit of money, but then their longevity is not there. And, you know, generally speaking, they go out of business, or, you know, if they're not treating the consumer fairly, you know, they don't get a lot of repeat business. So, you know, when a dealer or a finance company really wants to say what is success and look at it from a holistic approach, certainly following the letter of the law, but even more important, the spirit of the law when it comes to compliance, it's so important. It's what's going to separate, you know, one business from another.
So I want to brag on you a little bit. Because I have known you for decades, and the thing I love about Steve is he's a visionary when it comes to auto finance, and he always seems to be years ahead, and I don't think that's ever been more true with your current company, Agora Data. So let's talk Agora for a little bit.
Sure.
What do you guys have going on? Because I can't open up a publication these days without seeing your name plastered. So what are y'all doing?
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment. And, you know, back when we first started Agora, we said, what is needed in the buy here, pay here space? What's needed in the small finance company space? And why are those companies losing market share to the larger companies? So we actually did a case study, and we looked at Blockbuster Video, and we also looked at BlackBerry, because, you know, I remember the day when everybody would go into a Blockbuster on a Tuesday and they would wait for that new release and stand online. And then when they would get it, if they were lucky enough to get it, they'd return it late and pay a ton of money in late charges, and sometimes even more than that video was worth. And, you know, then we started saying, okay, where is Blockbuster today? Well, they're gone, and Netflix came around. And why is Blockbuster gone? It's because they just didn't innovate anymore. They said, you know, we've been doing it this way for a while. We're successful, and we're going to continue doing it that way. And they continued doing it until they weren't relevant anymore. And the same with BlackBerry and, you know, lots of other companies. And when we looked at the specifically even the buy here, pay here community, we saw a very underbanked and underserved, you know, community of brilliant entrepreneurs, you know, honest, hardworking people. So we wanted to figure out a better way of putting the car dealers and the small finance companies on a level play field with the largest of dealer groups, with the big banks, the big finance companies. So our goal, and I'm not going to bore you with how we got there, but our goal was always to connect Wall Street, or to bring that very elegant, abundant capital to the everyday Main Street used car dealer or small to mid-tier finance company. So we came out with Agora Capital, and on December 29th, we made history and did December 29th, 2020, and did very first what's called a crowdsourced securitization, where we were able to take a whole group of dealers, and most of them were paying 13 and 14% for their money, and we lent them money at 6.5%, and we did that without personal guarantees, and we made it abundant. So if a dealer had a $5 million line of credit, you know, we gave them a capital facility of $15 million, you know, three times what they had. And what we found, Steve and Richard, is that now, you know, the small car dealer on the street corner can compete with the very large, you know, publicly traded used car dealers or the internet. I'm not even going to mention names, but we all know them. We see them on TV. They have vending machines that have cars in them. And, you know, now these smaller dealers can compete with anybody because their capital is coming from the same place that those large dealer groups or banks are getting their capital from. So, you know, that was our mission. That's what we set out to do. And, you know, we successfully did that on December 29th, and we have our next crowdsource securitization happening in the second quarter of this year, and we're just excited to be helping the dealer community do that.
So you said something that I want to make sure that our listeners really appreciate, because you know, it used to be, you and I grew up in this business, and securitizations were for the ultra large, the ultra rich. That was not something that you could bring down to the dealer level. And I mean, you're doing something that is completely novel and unique and has never been done in this space before. It's just really exciting.
So, and just from that perspective, I'm going to play kind of the dummy here. Securitization, just on a very basic level, maybe Steve, explain, you know, how that provides benefits to the mom and pop dealer with maybe 1,000 accounts.
Sure. And before Agora, you know, a mom and pop dealer, again, brilliant entrepreneur, great business folks, you know, but because they had, let's say, 1,000 accounts, maybe $10 million, you know, in a portfolio balance, was way too small for the capital markets. You know, capital market transactions generally start at $100 million and up. And that's on the small side. So because the smaller dealer with that 1,000, you know, loan portfolio couldn't go to the capital markets, they could only borrow from banks or rediscount lenders, and that debt is full recourse and just not nearly as elegant. So what securitization is, it's basically being able to take those assets, those 1,000 loans, and put them into a trust, and that trust will sell bonds to investors on Wall Street or other large institutions. And that money that the bondholders now fund, you know, to that trust flows all the way down to the dealer. And that's how the dealer gets money to continue to make, you know, new loans. And Richard, you know, because this is a great question, only the large companies can do that. So all the household names and all the large banks, the Citis and the Bank of Americas and the Santanders. That's how they get their money. But they do it and they raise billions, you know, at a time. And your car dealer with 1,000 loans can't do that. So we invented the technology, and this was missing in the industry and nobody else has it. And we invented the technology to take that dealer with those 1,000 loans and the dealer down the block with 500 loans and the dealer in the next state with 80 loans and the dealer in another state with 5,000 loans and aggregate those into what's called a crowdsourced securitization. So we aggregate all of those loans. We sell bonds against that pool and each dealer gets the money for their specific loans. And it's just, it's exactly, we didn't invent the securitization. We just now connect it to the Main Street dealer that didn't have, you know, the access to that before.
So let's talk, and yeah, of course, I don't want you to name names or get specifics, but to talk about some of the dealers that are able to take advantage of this and were in your first round. You know, what kind of size are they? How many employees? Because I want to make sure our listeners understand that this is a game changer because it just opens up the playing field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's, you know, first, the method to my madness, and people will call me mad sometimes, is on the small side, we had one dealer with $11,000 worth of loans, two loans, $11,000 principal. And on the larger side, we had a dealer with more than $20 million and then everything in between. But I'll give you a great case study of one of our particular dealers. We had a dealer that had a $5 million credit line. They were paying a rediscount lender 14% for their money. And they had about an $8 million portfolio. And they were at max. They owed the full $5 million. This dealer had four collectors, an office manager, and then obviously salespeople. And then, you know, inventory people and mechanics and all that. And what we did, what we noticed with that dealer is because they were filled up on their credit line at $5 million, which was the $8 million, you know, portfolio, they couldn't originate any more loans other than what we call their runoff. So if they liquidated $200,000 a month, they were able to fund back up $200,000. So they really weren't growing anymore. So we took that dealer and we moved them into Agora Capital. We paid off their senior lender. So we wrote a check, $5 million, to their senior lender. We gave the dealer an extra couple $100,000 over and above that payoff. We dropped their interest rate from 14% to 6.5%. And most importantly, because their lender was paid off, they could fund up another $8 million because they had full capacity again. And they chose to stay with their current lender, which is great. And now, you know, this was on December 29th, and now, just a couple months later, they've already originated another $3.5 million. So their total outstanding portfolio net is almost $12 million right now, and they're doing it with that same $5 million line of credit they had. And when we do our securitization in the second quarter of this year, they'll have about $8 million again. So now they'll have a $16 million portfolio and full capacity on their line of credit again to build up and sort of, you know, rinse, repeat. And when they do that three or four times a year, they'll end up with a $35, $40 million portfolio in 3 years.
So I bet you that particular dealer, when tax season used to hit, they were sweating bullets because they're watching the runoff and they're seeing what they could originate, and their growth was hampered, and now it's not.
100% right, Stephen. You know, you mentioned tax season, but so, you know, we're in a really interesting dynamic right now. First of all, I see the buy here, pay here industry and the subprime finance industry really having a great couple of years coming up. And here's why. I mean, not only is there tax season, and forget politics, but now there's a lot of stimulus money going to consumers. And that stimulus money is like an extended tax season for both dealers and finance companies. And I could actually see, you know, where it used to be late January, then February and March, you know, tax season, I could see now, you know, a January through August, maybe even September, you know, literally tax season. And if car dealers and finance companies aren't taking advantage of that right now, buying inventory and looking to grow their business, they're missing out big time on a lot of growth. And the first reason we hear from dealers of why they can't do it is they just don't have the capital to grow. And that's a dynamic that we solved. Actually, to be honest with you, the capital solution that we provide is the easiest part of growing your business.
Yep, I agree. So I want to switch gears for a second, because one of the things that really impresses me about what you guys have done is your technology. And I see you putting information out there about how dealers could basically price their portfolio, figure out what their accounts are worth in real time. So talk about that for a second, because I think that is just another huge benefit to the industry.
Yeah, and you know, and specifically to a car dealer, because let's face it, a car dealer is brilliant at understanding the value of a car, the metal on their lot, right? So a dealer may have $500,000 worth of inventory sitting on their lot, and they know the value of that inventory. And if they don't, they have, you know, Blue Book and, you know, J.D. Power and Black Book and Manheim, you know, MMR. They have all those value guides to understand what the metal is worth. Plus, they know it from experience. But that's not their biggest asset. The biggest asset that specifically a buy here, pay here dealer has is the loans that they have on their books. They may have $500,000 worth of car inventory and $5 million worth of loans. So the bigger asset that the car dealers have, they don't know how to value it. So we created something called Agora Book Value. And what we did is, again, we invented the technology. We have about maybe $12 or $13 billion worth of data. And we built some very cool artificial intelligence and machine learning models that go in and analyze that data, and then on a prospective basis, look at loss curves, look at prepayments, look at cash flows. And from that, every day, we run 10,000 probabilities of, let's say, defaults or payments or whatever on every loan. And we are able to put a value every day on every loan. So if you log into Agora Insights, a dealer that has his portfolio, you know, on our platform through one of our DMS, you know, partners, they would be able to see on a loan-by-loan basis what that loan is actually worth, and at a portfolio basis what that portfolio is worth, and then ways of improving that value. So if you're going to look at the Jones loan compared to the Smith loan, and you want to see why one loan is worth more than the other, this will allow you to understand that, so you could either originate differently or service differently to get a higher value. But it's the only tool on the market that will immediately, real time, every day updated, give you a value of a loan. And that's proprietary technology that we developed that is just, it's awesome technology. It's very, very accurate.
And that, this is, Richard's jumping in here, just, and that's really great. I mean, one of the, you know, I'm putting on my compliance hat here, and I'm thinking about, you know, rapid growth, which I've had experience with several clients in our world that have had rapid growth. Let's say going from 1,000 to 5,000 accounts, maybe in 3 years. And so, you know, oftentimes when there's incredible growth, which you're describing one of your case studies had. What kind of advice you might give them? You know, I know from a compliance perspective, you know, if you're small, you may not think about things ahead of time that you may need when you at 1,000 accounts that you might need at 5,000, right? The needs are different organization at that point. So when you have customers that is their goal, they want to participate and experience higher levels of growth, kind of what they should be thinking about.
Yeah, and you know what, Richard, that is probably, that's just a great question. If you think about it first, so one of the first things I said earlier is that if, let's say a dealer has a $5 million, credit line right now, we'll triple that. We'll give them $15 million worth of capacity. So that allows them to grow significantly. But because we're writing the check and lending them, we're not buying their loans because we're lending them that money, we are also very concerned about rapid growth. So we view our dealers, and the reason why we call anybody on the Agora platform a member is because they're not a customer, they're truly a member. And we have a holistic approach to helping that member be successful. So for instance, we provide an entire suite of reports, a full dashboard with some of the most robust reporting that's ever hit the market. The next thing that we do is we also provide a lot of accounting, support. We have CPAs in our company that will get on the phone at any time with any dealer, and provide them that accounting guidance. We will do budgeting and strategic planning with those dealers. We actually have something that we call our blueprint for success, where we'll sit down and outline literally a blueprint, the way you would build a house, where you would start with the foundation and the list of materials, and we do all of that. On top of that, we have a portfolio manager that will sit on top of the portfolio and look at it. And then, as you guys know, because we use Ignite, we will give full compliance support to any of our members, and it's all done through Ignite because you guys are, the best at compliance, no doubt about it. So when you look at that entire holistic approach, that's how Agora feels comfortable lending a car dealer $15 million when their current lender will only give them $5 million. It's because we've changed the dynamic between borrower and lender because it's a holistic approach, not just lending. And on top of that, every service I mentioned is completely free to our members with their membership on Agora, and their membership is free too. We make our money from the capital markets. And, that is what Agora is. It's a holistic approach to the financial health of the dealers. And if I could just mention one more thing, one of the big initiatives that we have here, because we're now lending that dealer money at 6.5%, where they're typically paying now 13 or 14% or 10% or whatever they're paying, it's more than the 6.5%, we really encourage those dealers to lower the interest rates to the consumers. And we have models and tools, Richard, that will sit there and help the dealer. And part of that blueprint is showing the dealer how they can sell the car for less, charge less interest, and actually make more money.
Wow.
And that may sound counterintuitive, but that's part of one of our modules in our blueprint for success.
Well, that's one of the things that technology allows. I mean, it's a lot of times, and I've learned this in my experience, you can't manage what you can't measure. And oftentimes, even managing departments or groups for years, and you're digging into a new data set that you have, and a lot of the assumptions that you've made about what you thought you knew about the portfolios you're working with, the people that you're working with, it doesn't stand up when you actually look at the data, and technology really helps us get at that. So with that, Steve, I'm going to give you, we're kind of running out of time, but I want to give you opportunity of maybe some final comments, if you'd like, really quickly. And then I want to have one segment where you and Steve Levine, where you share
Steve Business and Steve Legal, as we used to be known.
Yes, Steve Business.
That's right. I forgot that.
Where you share, each maybe talk about a war story that's kind of funny. Again, names removed to protect the innocent. But go ahead and get maybe some final comments on Agora here.
Sure. And, I talked a lot about artificial intelligence and machine learning and stuff like that, and securitization, and those are complicated technology or structures or any or everything. But I want to make sure I make this very special point is our members do not need to understand securitization. That's a super complicated financial structure. As a matter of fact, very few people actually understand securitization. It's so complicated. You got to specialize in it. Say that again?
As we found out in 2008, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And as long as you say that, I want to make sure that this audience knows there's never been a auto securitization that has busted. All the 2008 and 2009 issues were driven by mortgage securitizations, not auto. But where I was going with that is what Agora really is a bunch of human intelligence. We brought in my management team here, our team, are the who's who of auto finance. So we have people, and your listeners can look at our website and see who they are, that have built the largest finance companies in the United States, the largest buy here, pay here dealerships in the United States, the largest bank groups that are dealing with subprime in the United States, and so on and so forth. So the human intelligence is what makes the artificial intelligence and the machine learning possible. And that's what we really are, is a collection of just a whole bunch of really seasoned professionals that holistically are helping our dealer members and our finance company members, you know, make a lot of money and do it great for the community and for the customer.
Awesome. On that note, I want to thank you for that description. I really think it's just an amazing development in technology. We'll say for the little guy, right? For someone who has an opportunity to participate and have some of the equity available, right, to them on the market. And with that, I know you and Steve have a lot of history here. We always like to talk about a war story. A particular one, maybe where you went to court, something happened with the judge in front of kind of embarrassing situation. There's something funny. I know in the car business, we all have our war stories. So everybody needs to hear at least one war story per podcast.
Okay.
You want to go or you want me to go first?
You call it, Steve. Doesn't matter to me.
Okay. So back in the day, we used to wind up in small claims court a lot. And we'd win some and we'd lose some, but we were there a lot. And the judge who was on the bench for like 30 years, I think he was elected with Kennedy. and he basically ran Arlington, and he kind of got tired of seeing me. And he told me that next time I had to bring my client with me. So Steve goes down with me, and I was trying to explain to Steve, you know, this is truly the Wild West. Whatever the judge says goes. And Steve is always chewing me out because, well, you know, the law was on our side. The evidence was on our side. And he would just chew me out. So we get in front of the judge. And, boy, I remember this because the lawyer on the other side was from Dallas. And Fort Worth judges don't necessarily like Dallas lawyers. And he objected to something. And the judge looked at him and said, "Sir, the rules of evidence and procedure only apply to the extent that I want to apply them in this courtroom." And you looked at me and said, "We never need to come down here again."
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm going to tell a story. I got actually two quickies. So the first one's the easier one. I remember we were sued for something. I forget what it was. And one of our collectors was about to be deposed. So Steve always liked sitting down and just going over, you know, with that collector, you know, the facts of the case and stuff like that.
The pre-deposition deposition.
Yeah, this is normal.
Right.
Right.
Normal stuff, right? So he sat down with this collector, let's just call him Bob. And he sits down with him and goes over all the facts and makes sure that Bob, you know, can recite the facts properly and all that.
I worked him over good. We spent an hour. I worked him over good. We spent hours.
Hours. Many hours, right? Many hours. And the very first question that this guy Bob was asked was, what's your name? And Bob didn't know what to say. And he said, Bob Smith, Bob Jones, Bob, because he had used so many names back in the day collecting that the one thing Steve forgot to really ask him about is, what's your name? And that was just, the look on Steve's face was like, oh my God. But I think the better story, Richard, I don't know if you've ever heard this. Steve and I had to go to Roswell, New Mexico for a deposition.
No,
you did hear it?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay, so we're in Roswell, New Mexico, and I'm being deposed, and I don't know what's rubbing me wrong about the other attorney. And we're just talking, and all of a sudden I turn to him, and Steve, I blindsided Steve with this, and I asked the attorney, are you an alien?
True story. He actually asked the guy if he's an alien.
And he turns to me and he starts to get a little angry. He says, what did you say? I said, well, you an alien. We're in Roswell, New Mexico, and I'm being deposed by you, and I think it's a fair question. He goes, let's go off the record. I said, no, let's stay on the record. Are you an alien? And you're foaming at the mouth. Look at that. You have some foam coming out of your mouth. Anyway, how much did we get sanctioned, Steve?
So the thing you have to appreciate is this guy was a fire hydrant. He was like 5'5", 220. I mean, yeah, he's like, you know, just this. And he was turning red like a fire hydrant. And I'm just cringing. Our local council is looking at me like, will you do something about this guy? Because I can't control him.
So, you know what? It was fun days, right? And, you know, it was actually fun days. We were both a lot younger. You know, I got to say for the audience out there right now, Richard Hudson and Steve Levine are two not only of the most knowledgeable people in this business, but they're really good guys. Really good guys. You don't find better people than Steve Levine and Richard Hudson. You just don't.
So, well, thank you.
You guys are great.
Appreciate that. We appreciate you coming in today. We, you know, Steve's obviously, you know, my Steve, lawyer Steve, has known you for decades. And, you know, and we're really proud of the people that we're able to bring in, that we're able to interview, and we get the cream of the cream, and you're obviously, you know, at the top of the milk jar, right? So we are honored to have you here today to be able to talk about Agora, because we're really excited about that. We're really excited about, you know, in your words, the democratization, right, of some of these processes that have left a lot of the smaller folks outside of you know, available capital. So we're really glad that you're here. We're really glad you had an opportunity to speak about your product. And thank you very much, Steve.
And Richard and Steve, thank you very much. And, you know, I'm going to finish my scotch.
Yep, we're going to finish our rum and coke here. We've got a little bit of work left to do for the day. But again, thank you for joining us for our this is our premiere episode with a guest, and we're honored to have you here, Steve. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Great to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.